me shall never die. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore. And I hold the keys of hell and death. Because I live, you shall live also. Friends, we have gathered here today to praise God and to witness to our Christian faith as we celebrate the full life of Irene Bodine. We come together in grief, acknowledging our human loss. And may God grant us grace that in pain we may find comfort, in sorrow, hope, in death, resurrection. So now let us rise and praise God with one of Irene's favorite hymns, hymn number 156, I Love to Tell the Story. Separate us from your great love in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Please be seated. At this time, family and friends are welcome to share tribute and memories of Irene Bodine. You want to use the pulpit or you want to use here?
Yeah, use the pulpit.
Sure. Good morning, everyone. Good morning. Thank you for coming out today. I don't think my mother ever planned to be a farmer's wife. Like Dad didn't plan to be a farmer. But that's how it turned out, and she was a great helpmate and mother while he worked sunrise to sunset in the field. She brought us up by hand, as they say. kept house, grew vegetables and fruit and canned a lot of them. She had to persuade Dad to take the time to bring up the tractor and plow the garden plot behind the house every spring, and she did the rest with a little help from the kids. I remember hearing Dad suggested once she learned to milk the cows, as other farmers' wives in the neighborhood were said to do. Her reply was something like, when you come in and help me with the housework, I'll think about it. She did look after the chickens, providing eggs and fryers for us, three square meals a day, including Sunday dinners after Sunday school and church, and noontime meals for several neighbors and neighbor boys in the summer when we baled hay. Later, she worked as a school nurse to help make ends meet and contribute to the community. We learned the habit of hard work and the value of hard work from Mom and Dad. We never went hungry, but Mom was frugal and got upset when the bill at Jones's grocery store got up too high before Dad sold some hogs or cattle. We wore a lot of hand-me-downs. She made shirts and blouses out of cloth chicken feed sacks. We pored over the toy catalogs, the wish books from Sears and Ward's, and looked forward for months to Christmas. After every busy week, we went to church, the whole family. Some farmers cultivated corn or raked hay on Sundays, but Mom always saw to it that we went to church. She taught a junior boys' class for years. I passed through her class, as did dozens of other Methodist boys like George Sherrard. She instilled in us the sense of caring for each other, of unselfishness, of doing the right thing, of responsibility to each other and to God, and the assurance that we were loved. Mom showed in everything she did the down-to-earth faith in God and love for others that always sustained her. She never asked for much, never wanted anyone to go to any trouble for her, but she was always there when someone needed a smile or a hug or encouragement or help. I guess that's why everyone loved her. She loved God and her neighbor as herself. And this from her grandson, Christopher, our son, who lives in China and would love to have been here. Chris says, growing up overseas, I never saw my grandmother as much as I wished, but our times together were always memorable. That was especially true after I went off to college and began spending the holidays with her. Along with all the love and care of the grandma I knew, there was a new, more mature aspect to our relationship that helped me immensely as I entered manhood. We'd talk about some of the difficult times she and Grandpa had been through, life on the farm, going into business, picking up and starting a new life after leaving Alpha. She wasn't one to lecture or give unsolicited advice, but I could see her pride upon my graduating from college, knowing she'd helped sustain me emotionally through those years. As everyone knows, Grandma never missed a holiday, birthday, or anniversary, no matter how far away we might have been or how long since she'd seen us. Those cards became more precious the older she got, and the last one I have, received on my birthday last month, shows the toll the years were taking. She couldn't recall how old I was, but the sentiment came through in spades. I'll remember her laughter, her humor and humility. When eating at an Italian restaurant in Boston, she declared it to me to be the first time she'd tasted ravioli that hadn't come out of a can. Once when we were playing cards, she snatched up my daughter's mobile phone that Ingrid had been far too engrossed in, declaring that these things seem like a lot of fun. You should probably get me one. When the girls said they couldn't wait to see her, she'd reply along the lines of, "I'm afraid you're going to have to. It's a long way to Louisville." I'm deeply grateful for both our relationship and the fact that my children were able to have one with her also that was so full of life and love. She was an inspiration who, as my father put it, loved God through loving her family and her neighbor.
Thank you, Duane. Duane? Let me get this out of your way. Sorry.
Thank you. Thank you for coming out in the lovely weather. It was not easy to get here, I know. I wrote this little thing that I'm going to read 2 years ago when Mom was really sick and we didn't think she was going to last much longer. And so I thought, well, maybe I should write something. So this just kind of came to me all of a sudden one night when I couldn't sleep. So then I've saved it, and I'm glad I did because now it's appropriate. It's so easy to think of nice things to say about our mom, so I didn't know where to start. But in the last few weeks, I've spent a lot of time in her apartment at Brownsboro Park, and I've noticed four mottos scattered around that perfectly express her personality. Over the bed hangs a sampler with the words, "God bless our home." This is one she brought from her house in Alpha 16 years ago when she moved to Kentucky. This one couldn't say better how she valued family and prayed for every one of us every night. How many times did she organize reunions of extended family, which would involve scores of people from across the world? She held things together and wanted us all to know one another and to be close. Some of you remember the big reunion we had at the Legion Hall down the street over here. It was a lot of fun. So, important word in her life was family. On an embroidered pillow on her bed, it said, "No act of love, however small, is ever wasted." Kindness was one of her major traits. Several years ago, two sisters lived together at Brownsboro Park, Willie and Froni. They were little tiny women. Froni became disabled and needed a wheelchair, and Willie could not push it. Mom noticed that Froni wasn't coming to the dining room anymore, so she offered to push her twice a day, lunch and dinner, so she wouldn't have to eat alone in her room. This went on for about 6 months. Mom is in her 80s. Willie told me at Froni's funeral that Mom's kindness kept Froni out of a nursing home. This kind of action was just perfectly normal to Mom. She was always looking around to see who needed help, what she could do to help anybody. There's so many other examples, too numerous to mention. Kindness. On the wall in the dining area was a little motto, "The joy of the Lord is my strength." Mom wasn't a loud, gregarious person. Even though she didn't always have an easy life, she had a quiet peacefulness about her that people sensed. She also had a quick wit. People would say to me, "Your mom is so funny." And I'd think, what'd she do funny? But she could come up with some good ones, and this was joy from the Lord. Joy. On the opposite wall, taped to a picture frame, just a little typewritten thing said, "Jesus is coming, get busy." Even into her very late years, she was working for the Lord. Sitting around and wasting time was not her style. I think especially of her last 10 years in Alpha when she helped to pack and deliver the mobile meals to homebound people. This was in her 70s and 80s. Also very active in UMW, even on the district level, taught Sunday school, Bible school, lived right next door here. And I've learned from reading some of the memories that she invited the VBS kids to come over and sit on her lawn when it was too hot in the building. Even at our church in Middletown, she served as a greeter by the door until very recently when she couldn't really stand there anymore. I'd say she had 99 busy years because Jesus is coming. So that's action. So we had family, kindness, joy, and action. Many a preacher could save time and effort in sermon writing by simply saying, "Jesus is coming, get busy." Then he could sit down. The Christian faith on a thumbnail. And our preacher back in Middletown, he said, "I think I'm going to try that one week, except they pay me to stand up here and drone on and on, so maybe I should. So in summary, cherish family, perform acts of kindness, be joyful, and get busy. That was our mom.
Thank you, Diane. That was lovely.
To think of things that haven't already been said about Mom. She was a loving and generous lady. I remember her reading bedtime stories and the funny pages to us kids. She would use different voices for the characters. When I was in high school, she would help me with book reports by taking turns reading long novels out loud. She was the spell check with any word I asked her to spell. Mom always found a place at the table and food for anyone in our house at mealtime and was a great hostess. She loved having family visit and would put everyone up at night, even if some of us had to sleep on the floor. Mom taught me that a lady is a woman with manners. She taught me how to appreciate what I had and not want things I didn't need. She taught me how to keep house and cook by doing these things. She set limits so we knew when to quit. She taught me to finish what I started and to clean up my mess afterwards. She taught me how to wait on other people. It's hard to think that we will not see her pleasant smile or feel her gentle touch again. Her newsy letters will not be in my mailbox every week. Rest in peace, Mom.
Thank you, Donna. Diane?
I'm sorry, Duane's and my daughter is not here because she had a special relationship with her grandmother. And you'd have loved to sparkle in her eye. How do I sum up 47 years of being Irene Bodine's granddaughter? When I was writing this, I realized that so much of what I love about her is just her. I loved being in her presence. Like my brother and my cousins, with Grandpa gone and my parents away, we developed our own individual relationship, formed through annual visits and cemented by her frequent letters and the occasional phone call. Through boyfriends and college and traveling and divorce, Grandma was a constant, always available and loving, proud and interested in anything I had to share. I was so excited for my own children to know her, to continue our annual pilgrimage to Louisville and watch them form their own relationship together. And in the last few years, I've been honored to be with her as she rallied and failed and rallied again, sitting together, reading devotions, holding hands, treasuring each visit in case it were her last. Grandma set the high bar for grandmothers. There was turning the shed in Bartonville into a playhouse in the summer, complete with curtains and a clothesline. She used to read us stories on cassettes and mail them to us. She saved junk mail and old checks so we could play post office and old bandages for playing doctor. In church, I would explore her purse, her rain scarf in its little case, the four-leaf clover slid in next to Grandpa's picture. Grandma pulled me to the store in the little red wagon, and I pushed my aunt's dollies around in a stroller with ringing wheels. Grandma was not big on drama, legendary for not wanting a fuss. She taught me to be nice and to get along, that everyone deserves the benefit of the doubt. That love and respect are easily given. She showed love and respect to my grandfather and to Grandma Wasson, and through her example, I learned that people who are old or different have values too, have value too. I credit her for my love of geriatrics. I don't recall ever feeling patronized or talked down to, never witnessed it in family gatherings. She did not want us to get divorced, but she celebrated with us when we remarried. She lived her values, so I always knew when she disapproved, but she never pushed me so far as to endanger our relationship. From Grandma, I learned that if you wear curlers to the store, for Pete's sake, cover them with a scarf. I learned expressions like, my cow and my stars. Remember the noise she would make when she was disgusted, screwing up her face like something smelled bad? When I finally found my way to nursing, it seemed so obvious, helping others, using my gifts, sharing God's love. I think of her almost every day when I arrive at work. Though my nursing career is already longer than hers, my walk of faith and serving others is relatively short. Grandma inspired me to continue them both for the rest of my life. I'd like to just take a minute to say, when Mom left here, it was a big move from a whole life in this community. She did it with such grace and joy, and made it so easy for Diane. And Diane gave her the best of care. And if Mom had a sense of humor, you see Diane's sense of humor, and it was just a joyous thing and no patronizing. And we should all be so lucky to have daughters like Diane and Steve and their family.
Thank you, Diane. Would anyone else like to share?
My mother was Irene's twin sister, and they shared everything for the first 22 years of their lives. Probably the same bed, the same nursing school, everything, until Irene got married and deserted her. But it wasn't long after that that my mother got married, and we still were all together. Her family, our family, everybody. It was wonderful to have her for an aunt, who treated you like you were just another one of her kids, who corrected you when you made mistakes, told you to straighten up and fly right. So we were just one of her family, and then she became my substitute mother when my mother died a few years ago. When Tom and I were married, and he had to go to Southeast Asia for a year, and we had a baby and had an opportunity to go to Hawaii and meet him there for a little while. They had come to Martinville to live, and I had gone home to live. And so we were all there together. My son had another pair of grandparents to take care of him. And when we went to Hawaii, there was my mother, Aunt Irene, Uncle Virgil. They were all working, but they all said, "We will take care of him so you can go." So I put together this huge schedule, because one worked this day, one worked the next. It's like, you got the baby on Monday, but you have to take him over there to sleep tonight, because when he wakes up in the morning, Irene will be home. But they did a wonderful job. And when I got back and he was walking, he walked Uncle Virgil, not to me. But it was great to have them so close and be that kind of person to all of us. A couple of years ago, we have a daughter who lives in Columbus now, and she has a son. And she and her husband and son decided to come to Louisville and meet Tom and me. We were coming up from the south. They came down from Columbus, and we all met in Louisville because they had... her family had never met Aunt Irene, and they wanted to visit the Fairfields and her. So I said before we went over there for the first time, a couple of things I need to tell you. Aunt Irene is very deaf. This was especially for my grandson, who was 7. Get in front of her, talk slowly, you know, and she will just enjoy having you, but she won't understand you unless you're up close and talking carefully. The other thing is, she's quite old, so she's very slow. So if you're running down the hall, she's not going to be able to keep up. So the next day, after we had been out to dinner and had been visiting and everything, the next day they said to me, "Well, you were wrong about some things." And I said, "Wrong about what?" And they said, "Well, you're right, she is very deaf. But you're wrong. She certainly isn't slow." Because she was showing us around her community, and, you know, she'd get behind that walker and she would take off like a shot. and wanted to go play with our grandson and feed the ducks and things. So she was a wonderful lady. We're still going to be stopping in Louisville, but we'll miss her when we get there. This is my husband, Tom.
You know, going back to the days when I married into the All Britain family, and you know, I can remember when I was over in Southeast Asia and we'd sit down in the officers' club and we'd be talking, and eventually the guys would be start talking about their mothers-in-law and how bad and, you know, nasty and everything they were, and then they'd look over at me and say, "Well, how about you, Tom?" And I said, "I got nothing bad about, you know, my mother-in-law." Oh, yeah, we were talking about mother-in-laws. And I said, "I have nothing bad." I said, "With her, it was love at first sight." And that carried over into the Bodine families and everything, too, that it was just amazing. And when Pauline died, of course, like Martha said, our love shifted to Irene. And we would make it a point, and I used to look at her, you know, we'd make it a point that when we went from Texas up to visit our daughter or our son, we would always make it a point to stop in Louisville and visit Irene.
And the Fairfields.
But she was an amazing woman. She was in her 80s or 90s, going on 18 years of age. She was as sharp as a tack. And we would bring her puzzles of that, and she would sit down, and she would have those puzzles done in no time but at all, etc. And so I used to look at her, and I would say, "You know, Irene, I want to be just like you when I grow up." And it is true. She is up in heaven now. And I know when she got up to St. Peter's Gate, he took her straight through, and the Lord greeted her and say, "Irene, it's nice to have you here." He says, "But by the way, over there on that table, we got a bunch of puzzles that some of the heavenly hosts cannot solve. Can you go over?" And I know she's going to say, "Oh, I'll take care of it." And she'll be over there, and she'll have those puzzles completed in no time at all. As I just said before, to know her was to love her. And being, you know, part of the family as we were, with Martha being the granddaughter, and sometimes I just looked at her as, you know, being her grandson. My nephew, you know, words at this point, you know, don't matter. I mean, we are here to say we love you. We have always loved you, Irene, and we will never, ever forget you, or your sister, for that matter. And I know the two of you are having a joyous get-together in heaven, and who can say anything better than that? God bless you, Irene. We love you.
This is a tribute from Elaine Jones, her niece. "One of my memories of your mom was this. We were all playing in the living room at your house on the farm near Alpha. And she came in and said in her usual husky voice, 'If you kids don't quiet down, I'm going to work you over.' Well, I had no idea what that would entail, so I quickly sat on the couch. Of course, she didn't have to follow through, so I still don't know what it means to be worked over. Maybe I should add, thankfully. Your mom was a very special lady and was one of the reasons I became a nurse. I loved her very much." And then this is from Betty, her sister, who was unable to be here, but she's here with us today in spirit. "Irene and I are sisters. She was 10 years older than me, so we didn't have a lot in common interest until I was an adult. And we both were married and had children. Our families were always close and loved to visit each other. We were always welcomed on the farm in Alpha, even though our boys, Jim and Bob, got into trouble climbing trees, chasing the pigs, and letting the chickens out. Virgil and Irene always laughed at their antics and made us feel at home in their home. Irene was always there to say, "That's all right, boys will be boys." We both had happy marriages and good husbands. We saw each other through the untimely loss of both Bob and Virgil. Our faith in God and belief in life eternal supported us as we prayed for strength and comfort for each other in our grief. We have both been alone for many years, but have had happy lives thanks to the loving care of our families and the bountiful grace and goodness of our Heavenly Father. Now Irene has gone to her eternal home, and we all will miss her, but we are happy to know she is at home with God, where there will be no more sickness or sorrow. And I will miss finding her precious letters in my mailbox, but I know she's smiling down on all of us. Rest in peace, dearest sister. Is there any that I missed? Okay. We're going to proceed.
The first scripture I'm going to read is Psalm 121. I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. And the second scripture is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 40, verses 28 through 31. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint.
Will you pray with me? God of love, we thank you for all with which you have blessed us, even to this day, for the gift of joy and days of health and strength, and for the gifts of your abiding presence and promise in our days of pain and grief. We praise you for home and friends, and for our baptism and place in your church, with all who have faithfully lived and died. Above all else, we thank you for Jesus, who knew our griefs, who died and rose for our sake, and who lives and prays for us. And as he taught us, so now we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Our New Testament reading today is from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 5 to 15. We don't preach about ourselves. Instead, we preach about Jesus Christ as Lord, and we describe ourselves as your slaves for Jesus' sake. God said that light would shine out of the darkness, and he is the same one who shone in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in clay pots so that the awesome power belongs to God and doesn't come from us. We are experiencing all kinds of trouble, but we aren't crushed. We are confused, but we aren't depressed. We are harassed, but we aren't abandoned. We are knocked down, but we aren't knocked out. We always carry Jesus' death around in our bodies so that Jesus' life can also be seen in our bodies. We who are alive are always being handed over to death for Jesus' sake, so that Jesus' life can also be seen in our bodies that are dying. So death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. We have the same faithful spirit as what is written in Scripture. I had faith, and so I spoke. We also have faith, and so we also speak. We do this because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus will also raise us with Jesus, and he will bring us into his presence along with you. All these things are for your benefit. As grace increases to benefit more and more people, it will cause gratitude to increase, which results in God's glory. And please stand for our reading of the gospel today. From the Gospel of John, chapter 11, verses 17 to 44. A certain man, Lazarus was ill. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and his sister Martha. This was the Mary who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, saying, "Lord, the one whom you love is ill." And when he heard this, Jesus said, "This illness isn't fatal. It's for the glory of God, so that God's Son can be glorified through it." Verse 17. When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Bethany was a little less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to comfort Martha and Mary after their brother's death. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him while Mary remained in the house. And Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. Even now I know that whatever you ask God, God will give you." And Jesus told her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha replied, "I know that he will rise in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me will live, even though they die. Everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" She replied, "Yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Christ, God's Son, the one who is coming into the world." And after she said this, she went and spoke privately to her sister Mary. "The teacher is here, and he's calling for you." When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to Jesus. He hadn't entered the village, but was still in the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who were comforting Mary in the house saw her get up quickly and leave, they followed her. They assumed she was going to mourn at the tomb. When Mary arrived where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died." When Jesus saw her crying, and the Jews who had come with her crying also, he was deeply disturbed and troubled. He asked, "Where have you laid him?" They replied, "Lord, come and see." Jesus began to cry. The Jews said, "See how much he loved him?" But some of them said, "He healed the eyes of the man born blind. Couldn't he have kept Lazarus from dying?" Jesus was deeply disturbed again when he came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone covered the entrance. Jesus said, "Remove the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said, "Lord, the smell will be awful. He's been dead 4 days." Jesus replied, "Didn't I tell you that if you believe, you will see God's glory?" So they removed the stone. And Jesus looked up and said, "Father, thank you for hearing me. I know that you always hear me. I say this for the benefit of the crowd standing here, so that they will believe that you sent me." Having said this, Jesus shouted with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The dead man came out, his feet bound and his hands tied, and his face covered with a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Untie him and let him go." Therefore, many of the Jews who came with Mary and saw what Jesus did believed in him. You may be seated. This is the word of God for we, the people of God. Thanks be to God. I never met Irene Bodine. But everything that I've heard and everything that I have experienced in this short amount of time with you, her family and friends, is nothing short of remarkable. Irene Wasson Bodine, 99, passed away Friday, October 16, 2015. She was born at her grandparents' house in Pope County, Illinois, 99 and a half years ago. She grew up in a coal mining country in southern Illinois and then graduated from nursing school in Peoria in 1937. She married Virgil Bodine in 1938 in Alpha and lived in around the Alpha and Peoria area most of her adult life until moving to Louisville, Kentucky in 1999. And as we all know, Irene was much loved by everyone who knew her. Always busy in church and community activities, she sought Sunday school, attended the Home Bureau, United Methodist Women, and she even delivered mobile meals and ministered to anyone who needed something. She visited 7 foreign countries and most of the states, and she was an efficient farm wife, an excellent and affectionate mother, and a beautiful Christian. She worked in nursing at Peoria State Hospital for 11 years, and after moving to Kentucky, she joined Middletown United Methodist Church, where she was an active member of the Tri-M Sunday School class and served as a greeter until very recently. She had many health setbacks in later years, but bounced back and was called the Energizer Bunny. Everyone enjoyed her wry sense of humor. And everything that I've heard about Irene has shown the light of Jesus Christ. Irene believed in God, and God believed in her. She gave her life to the Lord when she was 10 or 11 years old, and it was her decision, and her life was never the same from that point. She always lived with an urgent expectancy that Jesus was coming, and so she'd better get busy. And Jesus poses that question to Martha, and he says, "I am the resurrection and the life. And everyone who dies but believes in me will live, yet they die. And everyone who dies and believes in me will live. Do you believe this?" And clearly Irene believed this and lived this. And she translated the gospel of our Lord, found in God's word in the scriptures, in her life, in a way that we could all understand it. We've heard it today. She taught perseverance. She was diligent. She was hospitable and compassionate. And she was always willing to pass on her faith to the next generation. She loved God, and she loved her neighbor, and she lived it out. It doesn't get any clearer than that, does it, friends? And so everything that I wanted to say was said today in these wonderful tributes, especially in yours, Diane, that she valued family, that she was kind, that she was joyful, and that she lived her faith because Jesus is coming. And so I hope today, even though there's all this snow today, and things didn't always turn out the way that we had planned, it worked out wonderfully. And I think that she's pleased right now in heaven with our Lord, because that's the real joy. She's with Jesus right now, and she's reunited with her loved ones. And she now joins Jesus, who is always praying for us and praying for you, praying that we will be faithful to the end, like Irene, because she lived for God and lived for you. And because of that, God made her holy. Oh God, all that you have given us is yours. As first you gave Irene Bodine to us, so now we give Irene back to you. Receive Irene into the arms of your mercy. Raise Irene up with all your people, and receive us also, and raise us into a new life. Help us so to love and serve you in this world, that we may enter into your joy in the world to come. Amen. Let us now rise and sing hymn number 526, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. Yes, says the Spirit, they will rest from their labors, for their deeds follow them. Eternal God, you have shared with us the life of Irene Bodine. Before Irene was ours, she is yours. And for all that Irene has given us to make us what we are, for that of her which lives and grows in each of us, and for her life that in your love will never end, we give you thanks. And now we offer Irene back into your arms. Comfort us in our loneliness. Strengthen us in our weakness. And give us courage to face the future unafraid. Draw those of us who remain in this life closer to one another. And make us faithful to serve one another. And give us to know that peace and joy which is eternal life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. May the love of God and the sweet fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit rest and abide in each and every one of you. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, amen.